Esther chapter 6, part 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for moving your servant out the way, that you may have the freedom to say and do to whomever. Lord, this is about you. This is a truth that you have laid out before us. May we never be the same after hearing your word. Those things that need to convict us, we pray will convict us. And those things that need to comfort us will comfort us. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. If you heard an amen, you know the visiting. Make them feel at home. Lay one of them visitor slips on them. I heard that amen. Bam! We do it at Antioch. In chapter 6 of the book of Esther, we learned several things last week. The first thing we learned is, if you throw mud, you lose ground. Can I have an amen? If you throw mud, you're going to lose ground. The second thing we learned was the simple fact of this. A man's character is built upon and as strong as what bothers you. So I wonder and hope that if you was getting ready to throw some mud last week, you thought about that and didn't do it. And then I hope you thought about the many things that bothers you and why they bother you. Because I expect you to follow through on what the word says and what your pastor preached that the word says. And you need to check the word to make sure your preacher is saying what the word says. I don't usually get up here and just preach because it's an exciting thing to do. It is a responsibility that we have to follow through on what the word convicts us of, what the word comforts us in. Amen? So as we look at Brother Haman, we looked at the whole fact of how he had got all excited about being blessed, he thought, by the king. And come to find out that that isn't what it's all about. Now, men have told me for years, the worst thing you can do is use examples from your family. Can I get an amen? Well, that was a weak support. They say, you know, don't use your family as examples now in your sermons. But sometimes they can give you some good examples. Can I have an amen right there, girl? Come on, girl. Can I have an amen, sister? Whoa. I got to go home, so I got to make sure I'm careful with my examples. Because your family's always giving you examples because you live with them. So I got some good examples. And it's going to work in good today because of what we're talking about with Haman. I keep trying to call one of our elders out, Chuck Haman. But it's Haman. Okay. He wouldn't be an elder here. But it happened often, but it happens pretty much every Sunday morning. You hear this little statement from the woman who loves you. Honey, should I pick you something out to wear? Can I get an amen? And being a man, the answer should be what? Yes, dear. She says with all the love, all the tenderness, and all the control that she can muster up. Honey, would you like for me to pick out something for you to wear? And the answer should be, yes, dear. But because I'm a man, can I get an amen? I say it with all the love and all the tenderness and all of the pride and rebellion that I can muster up. No, thank you, honey. I can do it. I got it. Amen. Can you get a name? Come on, talk to him now, church. Talk to him. But before I can get out what I'm really thinking, the Holy Spirit steps in. Because what the first thing gets in my mind is, I am not one of your children. Come on, talk to me. But do you think I'm smart enough to keep that inside? Absolutely. No doubt about that. I may have been born at night, but not last night. I'm a grown man. I know how to dress myself. I dress good enough to get you. Do you think that comes out? No. Absolutely not. I ain't going there. So after I get my pride swallowed a little bit, I go, okay. After I pick out what I want to wear, because she knows she got a second chance. That's how it works. So she'll just simply walk up to me with all the love, all the tenderness, all the control. And she says something real loving and simple like this. That doesn't match. It isn't about me being dressed to be dressed. She know I'm coming to stand in front of all of you. And how I look is a reflection of her. Can I get an amen, somebody? See, I understand that as a man. But even deep down, when she picks out the outfit, there's still a little rebellion there. So I picked out the shoes. And that's why I messed up. She picked out an Adidas suit. I picked out Nike shoes. And Al Valette accused me of cross-dressing this morning. That's funny right there. That's funny. Every time I do it, I go, boy, you better quit that cross-dressing. I said, not cross-dressing, that's cross-training. Now you're saying, well, what does that example have to do with Haman? And where we in today? Good question. I'm still searching for it. No, verse 10. Oh, can't even believe it. I said it out loud, dude, didn't I? Woo. Verse 10, Esther 6. Then the king said to Haman, make haste. Isn't it amazing how one sentence can change your whole life? Oh, you know right now, the king says, I like what you said. Yes, sir. Let's go get it done. Come on, Haman. And you can just see him just swelling right now. Yeah, cheesing big time. Smiling. But I want to ask you a question. How many times do you think the Holy Spirit, because evidently the Holy Spirit works on Persians too. Can I have an amen on that? Come on. Amen. We know that the Holy Spirit works on non-believers. Because if the Holy Spirit didn't work on non-believers, there'd be no believers. If he didn't work on us before we accepted Christ, we wouldn't be here today. In the blood of Christ, forgiven. So we know that the Holy Spirit speaks to non-believers. And I don't know about you, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit had whooped up on Haman a couple of times and said, you know what, boy? You shouldn't do that. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells Haman something, what should have been his answer? Can't hear you. Yes, Lord. Now, what's the difference between Haman, me, and you? How many times have the Lord said something to you and I? Don't do that. And we should have said, yes, Lord. But with all the love and all the tenderness and all the control and all the rebellion, we said no. Over and over and over again, I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit had jumped on Haman's case. Because God does not want anyone to perish. And the boy is getting ready to do some serious perishing here very quickly. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 happened in 24 hours. Woo! Yes, sir. King's getting ready to tell me that he is going to honor me. And listen at him, he's saying, I want it done in haste. That's what I'm talking about. I got a good king. I got a king king. I got a king that want to honor me. Yes, sir. And then one change of aspect in the sentence. Then the king said to Haman, make haste. Go get the apparel. Uh-oh. He's going to let me pick it out. That's even better than him picking it out. Yeah. Go get the horse. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm gonna get the best horse he's ever ridden. And thou hast said, do as thou hast said, and do everything to Mordecai. Oops, there it is. What do you think happened to that boy's heart? Bam! One sentence change destroyed his whole being. How many of you in here have been in a situation where you know God's saying something to you? You know what he wants you to do. You know what he wants you to do. And you don't do it. You don't say yes, Lord. You see, there's a lot of things that Haman could afford, but he forgot about the things he couldn't afford. How about you? How about me? There's a lot of things that you and I can afford, but we forget sometimes. There's some things you better not forget what you cannot afford. We know Haman could afford to have a wife. That's something that's true that you can say amen to encourage the pastor to continue to preach. Amen. Don't just look at me like, what is he going to say next? I'm not going to agree now because I may not like what he's going to say next. You have to forget that. You got to relax. You got to be ready to be taught as a baby. Don't put no guards up. You know I'm not going to throw anything at you that I wouldn't throw at you anyway. We know he could afford a family. Boy had 10 boys. We don't know how many daughters he had, but we know he had 10 boys. So he could afford a big family. Isn't that something? He could afford to have counsel for the most powerful man in the whole kingdom, in the world at that time. And for that counsel to be accepted, he could afford that. He can also afford that we know of really right because of scripture. We know he could afford to finance an entire army to kill all the Jews. So in our lives, there's a lot of things we can afford. A lot of things in Haman's life, but there's a couple of things that Haman forgot. He forgot he could not afford to remember God loved the Jews. See, you and I in America cannot afford to forget God loved the Jews. Come on. He forgot that you shouldn't hold a grudge. You can't afford to hold a grudge. Talk to the pastor. Have you ever held on to a grudge? You held on to it for so long you forgot where you got the grudge. You just know you're supposed to have it. I don't know. You're the only one. Just flat out mad at somebody. So if you continue to hold that grudge and be mad at someone, you forgot something else you can't afford. That is, you cannot afford not to forgive. Ooh-wee. Just think God, you know the Holy Spirit told him, you know what, Haman? I know you're upset about Mordecai. You better forget that boy. What should his word have been? Yes, Lord. But what was his word? Oh, no, not at all. We also learned last week, remember? Don't start building something that God may have to use to kill you. That's what Haman's doing because of what? Unforgiveness. You can't afford unforgiveness. You ain't an amount of money. It's not an amount of time. It's not an amount of thinking that makes you afford unforgiveness. It'll eat you up. And you know what's so amazing? It doesn't bother the other person usually at all. Before I became a Christian, I tell you, I hated white people. I didn't dislike them. I hated them. How many of you guys lost sleep over me hating you? Oh, all of you. I'm sorry. You didn't even give it. You didn't even know me. Who cared? Little black kid down in Alabama. It didn't cause you. But man, it really messed me up. Gave me some ulcers. Can I have an amen? Unforgiveness would make the body wasn't built to go through that mess. Give you indigestion. A lot of religions think that's the Holy Spirit moving their indigestion. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking like that, should I? I'm a pastor. I should be sensitive. Yeah! I'm going to take the horse. I'm going to take the parent. Woo! I'm going to take the crowd. And you going to let me pick out who going to push me around to? Yes. Do it in haste. Go get Mordecai. Oh! Elizabeth! Y'all know my boy, when he heard that, I don't care how strong you are, the legs got weak. He almost buckled up right there in front of the king. But you know what? He was obedient. He took on when he did. And I want to tell you, the king said, and I'll tell you exactly where Mordecai is right now so you can find him. He's out there at my king's gate. Go get the boy. I just want to ask you, folks, what do you think Mordecai is going through to honor his mortal enemy? I'm going to give you a little secret. You want to bless someone, start hating them and disliking them. So I just want you guys to hate me for about 24 hours. Put it all together. Honey, get ready. We're going to Hawaii. Try it. You don't like somebody just seem like God blesses them. You ever been there? I know I'm more righteous than them. Oh, I better leave that one alone. Ooh, no one smiled on that one. Let nothing fail, verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai, brought him on horseback through the streets of the city, proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delighted to honor. Every step, every street, every person he ran to stabbed him more and more in the heart. I want you to just picture what this man must be going through. Can I ask you a question? On this trip, who got tired? Who's the one that got tired? Mordecai? Oh, Mordecai, you know my boy. He's up there, he's just riding. Oh, you know Mordecai's enjoying the day. How can I have an amen, somebody? Every step of the way. Only one got tired was Haman and the horse. Isn't it amazing how little better we are at times than animals? We all know about animals. God made dogs, Satan made cats. Admit it. You might as well admit it. It's true. Dog know how to love unconditionally. You can kick a dog and go, oh, I'm sorry. Go, he's right back there, stupid thing. Cat, look at you and go, hey, I don't need you. I can go right down the street. I'm sorry. We shouldn't enjoy church. It should be a burden to be sitting in church. No one got tired. But Haman and the horse, Mordecai, is smooth running. Verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, raised Mordecai, brought him before on horseback before all the people. Verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. Oh, I mean, it's been a day for him. He just got back to the gate. You don't know my boy. He's just leaning back against the wall. Everyone's coming back. Hey, way to go, baby. Yo, the king, you're tight with the king. Where's Haman? Running home. Hiding his face. Covered it. The word used is he is so in distraught and so upset and so humiliated. Let's ask the question of ourselves. Am I doing anything that if I get caught in, I'm going to be totally humiliated? And if I am, right now is a good time to quit. We'll just leave that to the cooking, the pressure cooker for a little bit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Just think about that one. Woo! And Haman told Zeresh, verse 13. Now, it's one thing to run home, isn't it? To get some comfort. Friends been pushing him to build that gallows the whole time. Wife's been teaching him. But when he gets home this time, they find out what's going on. The friends turn into wise men. They turn in what they call, another good word that the Bible uses is, come on, I can't even think of the word. It's advisors. And guess who else turns into a wise person and an advisor? His wife. Look at it. Verse 13 gave me all kinds of trouble for a long time because it didn't seem to fit to me. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men. Ooh, they're called wise men too. Isn't that something? Can anyone say amen to me? Amen. Then the counselors, the wise men, the friends who has gone to the other side of the room to keep from getting anything on themselves. And his wife said also unto him, look, if Mordecai is of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. Does that really make sense, according to, if you just saw the story here? Didn't make sense to him. I go, all of a sudden, man, they have really changed their view when they talk about, because they have to understand that Mordecai was a Jew. The king says, go get Mordecai the Jew. So I got to thinking back of what we talked about earlier in a couple of chapters, about four chapters ago. You remember the correlation between Haman and Mordecai and their ancestry? You remember that Haman was a descendant of Saul? Haman was a descendant of Amalek. And Mordecai was a descendant of Saul. And that history had met again in Shushan here in Persia. And all those generations had passed between Saul and Saul who led to Mordecai and Amalek who led to Haman. All of a sudden, it was the Jews against the Amalekites. Now, what was God's order and command to Saul about the Amalekites? Kill them all. What is the only way, my friends, that we have a Haman in the first place? That was not accomplished. They had even one Amalekite came to David and told him, I kill Saul, which he didn't. But David killed him for just saying it. Now, all of a sudden, maybe the wise men and the wise start putting a little history together themselves. And said, you mean to tell me Mordecai that you're dealing with, who is a Jew? Oh, you can't prevail against him because their God has already said that the Jews is going to override the Amalekites. Would that be enough to wake you up? Your family and your best friends is telling you, you messed up. When all of a sudden they was telling you. You ever had the friends, come on, talk to me. You ever had the friends help you get into sin and then turn the back on you? Ooh, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you listened to me. I don't even listen to me. Very seldom do we get in sin alone. That's why many Christians, when I said get some strong fellas, find some strong fellowship, we'll find Christians that just like us, that'll do the things we do, to have the same shortcomings, because it makes us feel good about what we're not doing. Let me give you a little warning. You're not good for them, and they are not good for you. Hold each other accountable. And while he's sitting there struggling with the truth about what's going on, look at verse 14. And while they was yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Oops, there it is. God will not be mocked, my Christian friends. And what happens in the dark will be shown by the light. It will come to truth. So I want to give you a little warning today. Make yourself right with God. I can't wait to get into chapter 7. It's going to be a oops, there it is moment that you will never, ever forget prayerfully. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for your word. Help us to do what is right. There's nothing more important than that. Allow us to see you clearer. Let us learn the lessons that we're hearing in the book of Esther. For it is truth. It's an Old Testament truth with a New Testament reality. In your Son's most holy, present, glorious name, we all say, amen.